Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. Life is too short for that, as far as I'm concerned." She says, "I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, finding out who He is, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today, and sadly for the last time, for a while anyway, with my friend Arlita Winston. She has been telling us some of the ways in which she reared her five children. They're all grown up now, and I'm sure that it has been tremendously helpful to the parents that have been listening. But between programs, Arlita said to me, "You know, it all sounds so glorious and so grand, as if we were perfect. You know, it makes me feel very uncomfortable." Well, I'm going to give her a chance to tell us that it's not all glorious and grand. How do you feel about that, Arlita?
Well, I immediately think of a time when Sarah was 14, and not that these kind of times didn't happen much earlier. Of course they did. But this particular time, I was really beside myself, and it was going to be a wonderful mothers and daughters outing. She and I were going to go and buy clothes for her for the fall, have lunch in a tea room. And over the last few months, she had grown 6 inches and couldn't fit into anything that she had been wearing before.
How old was she?
And she was 14.
And how tall?
Well, I think by now she was 5'8".
Six inches.
All happened within those few months. And so we were looking forward to this very fun time. And in my mind, I had already planned exactly what we were going to buy for her and where we were going to go. And what I didn't know is that in her mind, she had done the same. So I felt her stiffen as I took a kilt off the rack and matched it with a beautiful, soft heather blue sweater. And by the end of the day, her eyes were so glazed, and she was so hard, and we were not communicating at all. We hadn't bought one thing, and we were enemies. And that night, as we went to bed, I burst into tears with Joe, and I blurted out, "I never, ever want to go through a day like that again." I was so frustrated and so angry. And I think hurt because I wasn't communicating with Sarah and because she wasn't wanting what I thought was going to be proper for her to wear.
Can you tell me what happened when you took that lovely sweater and kilt off the rack? What did she say?
She just looked at me and said, "I don't really want to wear that." And so I picked up a few more kilts thinking it was the plaid. And no, I do not want that. And then she found something that was really outlandish, but just the thing. I mean, really an in thing. And she wanted to buy that. And of course, the price was twice what we could afford for that particular item. And there was no way I was going to do it. So the daggers were drawn already. And the end of the day, nothing had been purchased at all. So I got home, poured it out to Joe. This was his oldest daughter, and he wasn't sure how to handle this either. But I knew and he knew that he wasn't going to permit this kind of thing to happen, because I'm telling you, we were enemies that night. We were not speaking. And so what we did is we knelt down and we laid it all out before the Lord.
You and Joe,
yeah,
knelt
together.
Down together.
Sarah didn't know anything about the outburst. She was still just stewing in her room.
You had just sort of maintained a cold silence during the day?
Well, I didn't know what else to do.
How did the lunch go at the tea room?
Well, we just ate quickly and got on our job. It wasn't at all the kind of thing that you
one of those
we had expected.
Dreadful times that we've all experienced.
So we knelt down, the two of us, and we brought it all before the Lord, my anger, my frustration because I really thought I was right. But I had to just relinquish all that before the Lord. And I felt surely He knew what to do with adolescence. And He knew, after all, He had put me in control. I was the mother, and I knew what was best. Well, the best thing we did was we left it right there in the Lord's lap, and I went to bed and had a good night's sleep. The next morning, I wakened with a completely new, fresh idea, and I bounded out of bed and explained it to Joe while we were dressing. And he agreed that it sounded like a pretty good idea, and it may well have come from the Lord. So at dinner that night, we presented our proposal, and this is what it was. At the present, the children weren't paid at all for any of their jobs. But this new idea was, since they were still young and couldn't get jobs in town, we would start paying them the going minimum wage. We would continue giving the same jobs, but now they would do it in a very orderly way. They would write down the job, how long it took them, and then I would pay them by the hour. Now, with that money that they earned, which was a good deal, they would use that to buy their own clothes. They would be responsible to buy everything except for their heavy winter coat and one good Sunday outfit. I guess I knew that they weren't about to buy a good Sunday outfit.
You were determined they were going to have a good Sunday outfit.
I was still determined. And so we would pay for that, but they would be responsible for every single thing else. And they could buy it on their own, and they could choose exactly what they wanted to buy on their own.
What a terrific idea. Certainly gave them an idea of the value of money, didn't it?
Oh, precisely.
The value of hard work.
Well, they were so excited that night when we presented it, and we said, anybody over 12 can do this. And so Joe and Brad and Sarah were all launched on that system. Now, here's where I don't remember. I think that we advanced that $200 to Sarah on the spot, just in an advance.
And she had to work it off.
And she had to work it off. And I think that is what happened. I think that was a mistake that we made. I think we should have just given it to her, period, full and square. Because she says that for the next few years, she felt she was constantly under the burden of constantly paying it back. Whether we did it right or not, I don't know. But the general principle worked completely. And she was one happy girl when we gave her that $200, and off she went that Saturday.
That was the $200 that you had intended to spend that day.
That's right.
This is apart from your new system.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I may have done that wrong. Sarah says that she feels that she had been in debt for a long time because she had to work that off. And it wasn't quite fair to require that right then. So I've had to say I was sorry to Sarah.
Yeah.
That was definitely a mistake. Mm-hmm. But the general principle and what happened following was just so wonderful and salutary. Now, that next Saturday, Sarah went off with that $200, so happy. And she went to her stores. And then that afternoon, I went to pick her up at the mall, expecting to find a very happy girl filled with her arms full of goodies. And what I met was a very dismal-faced daughter, and she got into the car, so gloomy, and she said, "It was awful, Mother." I said, "What was awful?" She said, "I couldn't find anything."
Poor girl. I know what that's like.
And then she just told about each store she'd gone to. She wasn't able to make the $200 stretch. And then by that time, we had driven up into our driveway, and I could feel her looking sort of sideways to me. And then she said, "Mom, would you mind going with me the next time and just helping me? Oh, I'll make all the decisions, but would you just go with me? Which was really big of her.
And what a difference.
And what a difference.
In that next shopping trip. Huh?
And what a joy it's been to see, by giving that responsibility to her and relinquishing my hold, which I should have done earlier.
And that is exactly the thing that has made your present relationship with her work, isn't it?
I think so.
Because the mother and father are constantly having to progressively relinquish
yes.
their hold. And then comes that wonderfully gratifying moment
yes.
when she says, would you go with me? And now that she has her own baby, she comes to you and says, what do I do about this?
Or yes.
can you help me with this? And to me, that is just really a gift from God when my daughter does that. And I even have a son-in-law who uh-huh. asks my advice. And I think that's just
that's
a wonderful
beautiful.
Thing. What a story. Oh, my goodness. What marvelous advice for you parents who are wondering how in the world to teach your children responsibility for money, which is a serious issue. If they have never been taught responsibility for money before they get married, it's no wonder so many marriages break up over money. Just plain old filthy mm-hmm. lucre. And it your system teaches them what real work is all about.
Plus, it taught them the jobs, because what I did was I said, all right, I will pay you for the hours that you work, and I'll tell you what has to be done. But I had to go and check those jobs, and if they were not done right, they had to come back and do them right on their own time.
On their own time.
So they had the choice of doing it right and getting paid, even if it took a little bit longer to do it right.
And as I recall, some of these jobs were tough ones, like chopping wood and waxing floors
that's,
and washing windows.
Right.
It wasn't just your routine dishwashing and stuff. Yes, well, that certainly should be a great help to people who have teenage children. And I think it makes for happy children, doesn't it? So many teenagers get into trouble because they don't have anything to do and they're bored to death. And you manage to keep your children so occupied with happy things, not just work, but also singing and playing instruments and all the things that we heard about yesterday. Well, I'm sorry that our time is up, Arlita. We've had a wonderful few days. So thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for this opportunity and privilege.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.